Hi there, and welcome to Sports Fans TV Cricket Fan Show. My name's Steve. I am sometimes known as the Cricket Guy, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and confrere on the show, Tony Goodenin. Tony, how are you, mate?
Well, hey, Steve, you're good.
Good, good, good. Yes. Yeah, so, well, again, as we've spoken about for the last couple of weeks, we thought it was a good idea just to bring folks up to date with the latest with the Azim Rafiq situation. Again, serious subject that I think we're treating seriously and with a bit of respect and dignity on the show. But there's been quite a lot has happened since we last were on Sports Fans TV talking about it. And we thought it was worth just running through some of the things because as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, not surprisingly, there's been ripples of this through cricket, particularly through county cricket. And it's beginning to have an effect and you're seeing things ping up in different counties with different people getting involved. So Tony, I'm just going to run people through some of the things that have happened this week. So obviously the big thing that happened this week was the Westminster Parliament Committee on Sport, which invited Azim Rafiq to give evidence to them. As we said before on the show, giving evidence in that scenario, in that kind of forum in Parliament, is exempt from any of the slander laws or anything like that. So people can effectively give their opinions and say what they like. And there's no kind of legal way of kind of suing people or you know, threatening them so they don't do it. So in that, he was encouraged to name names. And he gave what I consider, Tony, to be some quite shocking testimony. And it was, you know, it was really, really very uncomfortable to hear, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very, I mean, it had been well trailed that names were going to be brought into the open. And some of those names jumped in ahead of being named by apologising in italics for their actions in the past. To me, it just sticks in the throat, this apology situation. Whilst I have no doubt that in many cases the apology is genuine, but there are some people treating apologising as what I would call a cure-all. You know, I've apologised and that's it. And I sincerely hope that the powers that be, both in the committee and in the ECB, who are not by a long shot exempt from criticism in this regard. I just hope that whilst accepting the apology, which is a bit like pleading guilty in a court, I think that they must have some other sanctions imposed upon them for what they've done.
Yeah. So certainly in terms of people that have been mentioned, Michael Vaughan we've spoken about before, and he's come out and you know, still is maintaining that he didn't say what was said, even though there are now, what, two, three players that have said that they recall it.
He's digging his hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And I see some of his sponsors have pulled the plug. Well, not pulled the plug. They have stalled. Mm. They have said they are waiting to see developments. Yeah. But I can't see him or David Lloyd. I can't see myself. I can't see him appearing significantly on television.
Well, David Lloyd took a different approach. To be fair, he did come out and apologise and acknowledge what he did was wrong. And hear what you said about apologies, Tony. But I think David Lloyd and Vaughan have approached it slightly differently. For me, I think Vaughan, as you say, I think he's entrenching himself in a position and I see a bright future for him on GB News, I think, rather than on any other outlet. Yeah. in the media. The also mentioned, of course, we knew Gary Balance would be mentioned, and Azim Rafiq was quite clear that in his opinion things got a lot worse in the Yorkshire dressing room once Gary Balance was captain, and obviously Balance has come out and you know, acknowledged some of it, but perhaps has disputed some of it. Interestingly, also mentioned some other players. He mentioned Matthew Hoggard, who he said has telephoned him personally and given an apology. And as he said, that was what he wanted. Tim Bresnan, who was named as being involved, and I note today that Warwickshire have kind of announced a form of investigation, as Bresnan now plays for Warwickshire, into that. Jack Brooks, who is now at Somerset, who again has been under investigation by Somerset, and that's being reviewed there. I think
they have officially reprimanded him.
They have indeed.
That's all Somerset can do, I think, because it happened out with the time that he's been with Somerset.
And possibly the oddest one of all is Alex Hales, and you know, giving the name of his dog being called into question as being a, and which he's denied has got anything.
Well, the credibility, to a certain extent now, the same with Vaughan and Hales, even if they were 100% innocent, the mud will stick. The incredible coincidence of Hales giving his dog the name, beggars belief, in my opinion. It's a personal view. I just can't accept that. And I think that Vaughan, as you say, there are three players, all of good repute, who have said, yes, indeed, he did. And it's his word against three others. That is one of the difficulties of this type of accusation, hearing, whatever you want to call it, is that there is no hard evidence other than people's word against other people's word. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Vaughan perhaps has taken the stance he's taken, I suspect more out of desperation than anything. But it's a very, very difficult situation.
I think one of the things that was interesting about what Azim Rafiq was saying was he was less interested in individuals sanctioning. I mean, I think, you know, people need to be held responsible for their actions and so on. But he was more talking about the institutional nature of the racism in Yorkshire. And that was what he felt needed to be addressed. That was what was important.
And wider than Yorkshire. I mean, my own county, Essex, now more and more is coming out, and the latest accusations or allegations by Sharif are quite damning as far as Essex are concerned.
Indeed, as a Middlesex fan, Azim Rafiq mentioned he'd been contacted by a former, I'm not sure if it's a former, but certainly somebody who has played for Middlesex, and Middlesex have launched I don't think they know who that is. They encourage people that have for the county or play for the county to come forward and contact the chief executive to look into these things. I think Somerset have done something similar. I think many counties have. So it's also, of course, it really did throw the England and Wales Cricket Board and the Professional Cricketers Association into a pretty poor light as well, obviously. Azim Rafiq gave evidence. He gave evidence from the heart. He spoke his truth. And there was a flow and a rhythm to it. And then it was followed by people who were taking corporate lines, and that can be a difficult thing to do. But of course, there was a contrast, and it was quite jarring. And lots of the coverage of the hearing drew a comparison between Rafiq's evident, honesty and say speaking his truth, compared to folk who were trying to position.
I genuinely believe that the guy has got the interests of cricket at heart. I think the classic example is, in my opinion, is the way that he has referred to Joe Root. He patently does not want to say anything that might mar the Ashes series, because Joe Root was roomed with Gary Balance for several years. What Rafiq has said is that really he certainly didn't indulge in that sort of thing, but in his gentle way, he sort of said, it is surprising if he didn't know that it was going on. Yeah. That doesn't mean to say it would take an awful lot of guts, because Joe Root was very young then, to call it out. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that he was possibly a little overawed. Mm-hmm. Adil Rashid, who corroborated his evidence against Vaughan, I thought was most statesmanlike in the way that he approached it, saying that it was his recollection that those terms were used, but that as far as he was concerned, he wished to draw a line under it, having said that, and he didn't wish to participate anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that Adil himself, being a current, past and current player for Yorkshire, doesn't want to be seen to be, shall we say, stirring up trouble.
He's in a different position, let's put it that way, with his contractual stance, yes. And of course, probably the final thing to mention, something that came to light today, which goes to show that racism and discrimination can crop up even in the best of people, perhaps, is Azim Rafiq himself has had to acknowledge and apologise for some anti-Semitic tweets or messages. I'm not sure if they were on Twitter, if they may have been messages that they sent when he was 19 years old, perpetuating long-standing anti-Semitic tropes. He has apologised for that, and it's interesting to see how his apology and generally speaking, I think the Jewish Board of Deputies and others have accepted that and noted that, you know, he will know how painful it is. And so therefore his apology is being...
The parallel between that and Ollie Robinson is quite striking, I think. They were both young and impetuous and, what shall we say, easily influenced in those days. And that is obviously, to my mind, what has... of course, Ollie Robinson had to get wrapped over the knuckles, and rightly so. Mm. One other thing before we leave the subject, I noticed two things. One, Viv Richards has weighed in. I mentioned this on a broadcast a few weeks ago, where he suffered some considerable racism, and he included and named more West Indian players who suffered when they went to Yorkshire. And I quote, he said, "It is not a nice place to play." And that, I think, is in a way one of the most damning statements that Yorkshire Cricket Club could have had. And the last point I want to make is, and you've touched on it, I see that, and rightly so in my opinion, overt criticism of the inaction, in my opinion, of the ECB at that time. I'm not talking about now, because they are making good strides now. But at that time, they were, shall we say, dilatory in the actions that they took. And I think that is regrettable. I to a certain extent, Harrison, who's only been in the job 18 months, is the fall guy. But if you look back, one of the most influential guys in the ECB before him was Colin Graves, OBE, who was born and bred in Yorkshire. And served on the Yorkshire Council and had strong cricketing ties. And I don't think it's any coincidence that there was a sad lack of activity at that time.
Yeah, and indeed the Graves Trust is still very heavily involved and very influential at Yorkshire as well.
Yes.
So I'm sure that link will be there as this continues to rumble on. So there we go. Lots still happening. It's still rolling out. It's been a very bad week for English cricket, frankly, or a very difficult week for English cricket. Apart from the many things have been written about it. Michael Atherton wrote a good article about it, which I would commend in the Daily Telegraph. But otherwise, it's sad and. If anything, we hope it's the spur, which means all counties and the ECB and the PCA begin to put things in place.
Sooner or later, Steve, I think it had to happen, and it has to be purged. And surely at the end of the day, English cricket will be the better for it. I mean, there is no doubt that from what appears to be the case is that many young Asians players have shied away from participating in cricket when they were talented and didn't follow it through, which is one of the greatest regrets of all, on top of the well, I call it disgraceful racism that has perpetrated through the last umpteen years. I mean, let's face it, we can't hide from it and mustn't hide from it. And positive action must be taken.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to leave it for this week, Tony. Thank you very much for your thoughts. As always, a difficult and serious subject, which we're trying to treat seriously and with sensitivity on this show, but without, you know, hiding behind anything, and but talking about it honestly and how we feel. So that was us for this edition of the Cricket Fan Show on Sports Fans TV. You know where we are. You can follow us on Twitter as well at SFTV_cricket, and we'll be back soon with some chat about on-field action. And until then, it's cheerio from me, Steve, and cheerio from
Tony.
Goodbye, everyone.